Good morning. My name is Pastor Andy. I'm our congregational pastor at City Light Delco. I just want to welcome you to this gathering today. Obviously, I'm not there with you. That's because someone in my house tested positive for COVID. Now, everybody is doing okay, very minor symptoms, but we want to exercise caution and love one another and not get each other sick, so decided to stay home for today. Let's use this time as a good reminder to operate the same for each of you, that we would keep our germs at home if we're sick or if someone in our household is sick, and follow all the recommended kind of quarantine guidelines and things like that. They are very reasonable and very helpful in helping us not to get one another sick. I want to pray for us before we jump into John 6 today, and then we will look a little bit about at the story about Jesus blessing this bread and multiplying it. So will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you today for this technology to be able to preach over a video, to be able to hear your word proclaimed, Lord. And we pray that you would bless these words, bless our ears to hear what it is you'd have for us to hear today. And Lord, we just pray that you would be all over this service. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's fitting in some kind of weird, ironic sense that I am at home today, because my opening illustration as I wrote my sermon was about our COVID lockdowns that happened a couple years ago. If you remember those, when they first hit, when we were all locked down, we were all kind of looking for things to do, right? We were bored. We were stuck in our homes. We all had anxiety and stress and needed to leave that out in different ways. And so maybe many of you were like my wife and you learned how to bake bread in those first weeks. Do you remember that? That phenomenon with baking bread? You couldn't find flour or yeast or common baking ingredients at the grocery store. It was kind of wild. One positive of that time in our house is that Mindy got pretty darn good at baking bread, and she can still make some really good bread and does it quite regularly. And I can tell you from experience that there's not much that's more satisfying or comforting than hot roll or hot bread right out of the oven. Brush it with some butter on the top. You crunch through that top layer of crust with the bread knife and then lather it with a nice thick pat of butter while it's still warm. I could make a whole meal, and quite frankly have made a whole meal, out of just warm homemade bread. Today we're reading about some bread. That's why I was thinking about that bread. It's a story about Jesus making bread, right? But he didn't make it the same way we did in the oven with a sourdough starter or something like that. And it's also a lot more than just about bread today. The bread that Jesus, in the story you just heard read, multiplies to feed the crowd is meant to be an object lesson for them and for us. It's meant to point to something deeper. Jesus would often do this. He takes things that his listeners were totally familiar with, things that they would know all about, like bread, and he purposes them to teach a deeper truth. Let me take that a step further, and I got a lot of this kind of portion from John Piper. He says that he believes God created bread, delicious, warm bread, actually to teach us about himself. The whole reason bread exists is so that God could teach us lessons about what he's like through bread. Bread exists to teach you about Jesus and to glorify him. That's pretty beautiful stuff. So our big idea this week has to do with bread. It's pretty straightforward. It comes from verse 35. But our big idea is Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. Look at verse 35. It says, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus is the bread of life. We're going to see three ways that Jesus is like that bread to us today. First, he meets our needs. Bread meets your needs. You have a need to eat food. Bread gives you calories when you need them. Now, bread during the quarantine gave me a whole lot more calories than I actually needed, but bread does keep us alive. In our passage, we see that this crowd is hungry. There's a need that they have, and he knows what he's about to do when he sees them and their hunger. He's going to take 5 loaves of bread and a few fish, and he uses that little measly meal to feed an entire crowd. Thousands of men. Now, there are women and children there too, but it would be the custom of the day to count by the men. So there are who knows how many people in this place, and with 5 loaves, Jesus has fed them all. He's feeding them in abundance, right? There's 12 baskets left over. We end with more than what we started with. He met the need that day. There was a need for bread, for food, for this crowd that was gathered to watch him preach or listen to him speak. But it wasn't just about meeting that need, right? Because as we already saw, this was always about pointing to something deeper, something deeper about who Jesus is. And Jesus says himself that some of what he's doing is to point backwards to the Old Testament. He wants to remind the people about manna. Right? Look at the text in 31. It says, "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it was written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven.'" Now, in case you're unfamiliar with what manna is or what they're talking about, first of all, manna means what is it? So you're not alone in wondering what it is. After God led the Jewish people out of slavery from Egypt, leaving Egypt was what they were going through. As a consequence for their sin, they had to wander in the desert for 40 years. And during that time, there was times where they were at risk of starving. And God, in his mercy, performed a miracle. He sent food called manna. Manna was this stuff that would cover the ground every morning, and God's people would go out and gather it in, and it would meet their needs. It kept them fed. Jesus, in making this bread right here, one of the things I think he's trying to point out is he's God. He is like the manna-making God. Last week at Delco, we talked about Jesus is the same life-giving God that is in the Old Testament, and that's who he's comparing himself to. He's a life giver. And here he's showing us he's the bread giving God. He's the God who provides your needs. He's showing us that just as God gave the manna to his people, Jesus gives the bread to his people. He's showing that he's God. Remember John, we called it the Book of Signs. We didn't call it that. Theologians call it that. That's kind of one of the names of the Book of John. In the first part of the book, John lays out 7 signs that point to Jesus' true identity as the Son of God, and this is one of them. Jesus is the God who provides. Like the Father provided for his people in the Old Testament, Jesus provides for his people. God is in the business of taking care of the needs of his people. Other places in Scripture, Jesus promises us that we'll have all that we need. Just like God provided for his people in the Old Testament, he'll provide for you. When it looks like there's no other way, he can make a way. He's the same God that cared for the people in the Exodus, and he's the same God that provided bread and fish for his people in John 6, and the same God who gave his very life for you. God meets your needs. But Jesus doesn't stop at meeting needs. He's not just a need-meeting God. If that's all he did, he's nothing more than a genie. Right? He's nothing more than a welfare check. It's not what Jesus is. He's so much more. Yes, he does provide physical provision for his people. You can pray for your daily bread. In fact, Jesus tells us that's how we should pray. But he's so much more than that. We're going to see that in our second point, which is Jesus is like bread because he truly satisfies. We know that we can have needs met, and that can be a really great thing. We can also have needs met in a very unfulfilling, unsatisfying way. Another thing that I did during lockdowns, and I'll probably be doing in the evenings over these 5 days that I'm on quarantine, was watch those survival type shows. You guys ever watch those? Right? Like where they drop someone off in the woods or in the tundra or something like that. And a lot of times to survive, they have to eat like wild clover or leaves or something crazy like that. It keeps them alive, right? It meets a need. But they'll say things like they just want real food. It doesn't satisfy them at all, right? If you've ever just had like a protein bar because you're busy and you're running around, or shove some food in your mouth because you have 5 minutes to eat on a lunch break or something, it's not satisfying. Sure, your hunger goes away. The physical hunger goes away. But you're not satisfied in that. This actually happens in the Old Testament too. And when the manna would come to the desert, the manna that Jesus, or that we already talked about and Jesus points back to, the people grew sick of eating it. They started to complain because that was what they ate every day. Every day they had to go get this stuff and they grew dissatisfied with it. But Jesus is telling his people again, he's better than manna. Manna meets your needs. He meets your needs better, but manna doesn't satisfy you all that much. The people who Jesus comes for, the stuff that Jesus gives you, which we'll continue to narrow in, what does Jesus really give us? It will make you never hunger or thirst again. I'm not going to be hungry. I'm not going to be thirsty. I'm not going to be unsatisfied or dissatisfied when I put my trust in Jesus. Think about how satisfying a warm loaf of bread right out of the oven can be. God could have chosen for his people, you and I, to get our energy and our calories through tasteless power pellets or something like that. But he wanted to give us delicious, satisfying food, right? A great steak. If you're a vegetarian, like the greatest salad you ever had, I don't know. Your loaf of bread, all of these beautiful, wonderful things Jesus gave us, or God gave us. And I think he gave these things, like John Piper said, to teach us about him. The whole reason we have satisfying bread is so we can just get a little glimpse of how satisfying Jesus is. Jesus is all satisfying. He fully satisfies you. He doesn't just meet your needs, and those are not the same thing as we've already seen. Jesus is not a genie that just gives you the things that you want or need. He fundamentally changes the things that satisfy you. Right? He doesn't even just satisfy you in the way you think he should. He satisfies you in a way that's altogether different. Another thing John Piper says, a quote he says is, Jesus did not come into the world to assist you in meeting desires you already had before you were born again. Did you hear that? He didn't just come to meet these desires you had before you were born again. He came into the world to change your desires so that he would be the main one. I love that. And the people missed it in this story today. The story you heard read, the people ate this physical bread, right? But they missed what it was communicating in. What did they want more of? More physical bread. And Jesus is telling them, it's not really about the bread, it's about me. They missed it. In fact, what do? They try to take Jesus by force and make them their king. Jesus sees it. He says, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. In other words, he's saying, you had full bellies. Your appetite was satisfied for a moment. But you're not satisfied today, right? You're hungry again. So you want me to satisfy you over and over and over again by filling your bellies more and more and more. That's not what Jesus does. He doesn't just give them a whole new meal of bread and fish. Instead, he tells them that he should be their bread, right? When we come to Jesus, we have fundamentally new desires. We no longer hunger for physical bread the way that we used to. Yes, we need to eat it, and yes, we enjoy the gift that physical bread is to us. But our desire is for God, for Jesus Christ, first and foremost. Another pastor that I enjoy listening to, Matt Chandler, says, we actually have a greater joy in the physical bread once we're born again because it reminds us of how good Jesus is. Before I loved Jesus, before I trusted in him, my joy would terminate on the bread. Right? I love this bread. It's so delicious, the end. Now I can say, man, this bread is so delicious. And isn't God so good for giving me something like bread? And isn't Jesus so good because he's so much better than this physical bread? And my joy is exponentially greater because of my love for Jesus and mostly because of his love for me. So today, as you're watching this, as we're talking, you might not be satisfied. Maybe you're coming in here seeking something more. It's a lot of times why we go to church. We want something more. Jesus promises to satisfy us in him, but he's not going to satisfy us on our terms in the things that we want before we come to trust in him. If we're unsatisfied, it's usually because we're seeking something less than Christ to fill our appetites. And the Bible calls that an idol. And Jesus is not in the business of just feeding your idols, right? Maybe it's usually our idols are good things, or these things that we seek to fill our appetites and find satisfaction in are good things. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's this future spouse that you're your dream man or dream woman that you're thinking of. maybe it's an altogether different life than the one that you have, one where you're a little bit handsomer or prettier, one where you're a little bit richer, one where your kids listen just a little bit better, or maybe it's one where you're just a little bit better at your, whatever it is. I'm sure there's pain, actually, for many of you in not having some of those things you desire. But quite literally, when we read the Bible, it tells us that there is no circumstance that could steal your satisfaction if you're finding it in Christ. There's nothing that can take your satisfaction away if you're truly finding it in Christ. So if you're finding you're not satisfied, it's because there's part of you that's finding satisfaction in something else. Ultimate, deep, fulfilling satisfaction. Therefore, your primary problem is not your circumstance. It's not that you don't have the life that you want. Your primary problem, my primary problem, if I'm not satisfied, is because I'm not satisfied in Christ the way I should be. So what things are you seeking to satisfy you instead of Jesus? And again, they're usually very good things, gifts that God has given to us that are never meant to carry the load we put on them. You're never going to find your satisfaction in those things. Sure, your belly, so to speak, will be filled occasionally. But you're going to hunger again. You'll thirst again. But all who believe in Jesus and find satisfaction in him have an endless, not only an endless supply of bread, but bread that makes you never need to eat it again. Once and for all bread that satisfies forever. And today I want to encourage you, if you've tried to find satisfaction in everything else, try Jesus. What you're doing isn't working. You aren't finding the satisfaction that you're seeking. Come to Jesus to fill your longings today. So we've seen Jesus meets our needs. That's one way he's like bread. He also satisfies us. The third way we're going to look at is that he gives us life. And again, that we said that's kind of how bread meets our needs. It keeps us from dying. That's not necessarily the same thing as giving us life. The ultimate way that Jesus is like bread is that he gives us life. He's better than your physical bread. This is beyond meeting those temporary needs, as I said. Jesus has actually taken care of your biggest need. Your biggest need is not your dissatisfaction. Your biggest need is not that you're broke and can't afford food, if that's true. Your biggest need is not any of those things. Your biggest need is that you're dead man walking, dead woman walking. Jesus has given you life, or offered you life, eternal life. See, when God created humans, he created them to have a perfect relationship with him forever. But we broke that relationship. Our very first parents, Adam and Eve, you guys have heard the story, turned their back on God. And they sought to be their own gods, lowercase g, the own leaders of their own life, to find satisfaction and meet their own needs and every other kind of thing they could think of, mainly in going to this tree. God gave them everything they needed, and they wanted to try and meet their needs another way. They thought they needed something else. We do that too. Every single day I do that. We think we know better than God. In doing that, when Adam and Eve did that, they were cut off. And when we do that, we're cut off from the source of everlasting life. The whole world in that first sin was subjected to death. Not just physical death, although that is very real, but deeper than that, eternal death. Separation from God forever. Separation from everything that is good, because everything that is good is from God. And if we're separated from him, we're separated from all his gifts. And the only way to overcome that curse was for a righteous, perfect sacrifice to be offered in our place. The blood of bulls and goats was not enough to pay the penalty of our sin. The bread of life had to be broken for us. Jesus lived the life that we could never live. And he died as that perfect sacrifice in our place, providing eternal life to all those that trust and believe in him. I wonder, though, today, if there's anyone watching this that needs life, eternal life. Many of us thought about death in a way these past couple years that we may have not thought about before, a new way, because we've seen it, right? It's cracked through the veneer of modern life, and we've seen death in person and in numbers ticking along the bottom of our newsfeed or the TV cable news that we're watching. Death physical death, we know more than ever, comes for all of us. But the bread of life has come for you too. Death has come for you, the bread of life has come for you, that whoever believes in him might have everlasting life. Remember verse 35, I read it at the beginning of the sermon. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. In the desert, the Israelites hungered day after day. Jesus is better even than the food called manna that God caused to collect on the fields to bring life to his people. He's the manna from heaven that satisfies and gives us life forever. As John Piper says, Jesus came not to give bread, but to be bread. Is he your bread today? Do you look to him as the source of your life and satisfaction eternally and forever? If not, that's available to you today. On that Connect card you got when you came in, there's a space on there that has a prayer, a sample prayer, to put your faith and your trust in Jesus. We would love to know if you've prayed that today. We have people on the side who want to pray for you. We'd love for you to go pray with them and let them know that you've made a decision to follow Jesus today. We would love to know that you want Jesus to be the bread of life for you today. Let's pray, and then Dan's going to come up and he'll give us some directions on how to proceed. So will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you came not to give bread mainly, but to be bread. Lord, for those of us who have put our faith in you, will you show us the areas of our life where we're still not relying on you to be to be bread for us, to be satisfying to us, to be life-giving to us, where we're trying to find life and satisfaction in other things, God. For those of us who have not trusted in you, will you show us that how what we're doing is not working? Lord, in your love and kindness, will you help us to, Lord, I pray that those who are finding satisfaction in things that aren't you would stop finding that satisfaction in those things the way that they used to until they find satisfaction ultimately in you. Lord, in your love, will you remove the pacifiers that we're using to keep us happy when we shouldn't be, that we would find true life in you, God. We pray that you would help us to focus on you in this time of singing, that we could find our joy in you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.